What she needs is a tender moment. Let her know you'll always be her man. That's the kind of thing a woman understands. All it takes is a tender moment, a loving word or the touch of your hand. What she needs is a tender moment. Let her know you'll always be her man. That's the kind of thing a woman understands.
Dancing cowboys and good-hearted women. Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
My spare time and my spare key don't go to your front door. And I don't keep that old Jeep in your driveway anymore. And my toothbrush ain't on your bathroom sink. Haven't been to your side of town in weeks. You're the reason this thing broke, so you should already know. It ain't your place to walk up, say hey, ask how I've been.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House held its first briefing of the Trump administration today, working to clarify the president's executive order freezing federal funding for critical aid programs and grants until a review is finished. Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt says the pause is temporary.
Individual assistance, that includes, I'm not naming everything that's included, but just to give you a few examples, Social Security benefits, Medicare benefits, food stamps, welfare benefits, assistance that is going directly to individuals will not be impacted by this pause.
Republican lawmakers in Florida holding their annual working meeting to discuss their legislative agenda and priorities outlined by the Trump administration. French President Emmanuel Macron announcing the famed Mona Lisa painting will be moved while the Louvre undergoes restoration. The Italian Renaissance portrait will be on display in its own room. Repairs to the museum could take a decade. This is ABC News. The election of Donald Trump has emboldened at least one French company to step up its natural gas and oil exploration efforts in Texas.
President Trump has summed up his own energy policy this way.
We will frack, and drill, baby, drill. We're going to drill. Baby.
The French company Total Energies wants to add 10 rigs to the 5 it already operates in Arlington, Texas, in the heart of a region where 6.5 million people live. What's wrong with that?
The pollution, the fumes, the noise, the lights, the traffic.
Ranjana Bhandari heads a grassroots organization which opposes new wells. The city council will vote on the matter next week. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Workers at Whole Foods in Philadelphia have voted to become the first unionized store in Amazon's grocery chain. Union officials say workers are looking for higher pay, more affordable health care coverage, child care support, and a greater work-life balance. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If you love designer brands and you love clearance, then you're going to love this. Macy's is having a huge designer clearance event right now with incredible new designer markdowns on cold weather styles from BCBG, Hugo Boss, Michael Kors, and more. How big are the markdowns? How about Coach boots for $200 or less? So if you're looking for the things you love all in one place, come in and shop the designer clearance event at Macy's today. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson approves of raids by Customs and Immigration. Speaking to WISN-TV's Up Front Sunday, the Wisconsin Republican said they're looking for dangerous criminals.
In those law enforcement actions, if they find other people in this country illegally, they'll also be caught up in the law enforcement actions.
Johnson also says he generally approves of the presidential pardons issued to those convicted in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, but that he wouldn't have pardoned those convicted of violent actions. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's ready to work with Republicans. The Wisconsin Democrat says she meets with newly elected members.
What I do is I look and see what sort of common ground we already have. You know, most people who've just won an election had an agenda that they talked about during their campaigns. I can look at the state they represent and see if their state has some similarities with Wisconsin.
Baldwin hopes to address immigration and border security and child care and housing costs. She says she'll resist efforts to alter Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Proposed legislation would return state employees to the office.
Representative Amanda Nedweski has introduced legislation alongside State Senator Corey Tomchek to return state employees to in-person work. The Pleasant Prairie Republican says nearly 5 years after the COVID pandemic, a significant number of state employees continue to work remotely, while productivity diminishes and office buildings sit mostly empty. The proposal requires that all state employees return to work in their physical offices by July 1st. Those whose job duties were already being performed off-site prior to March 2020 are exempt. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Windy and warm today. With partly sunny skies, winds are whipping out of the south, gusting up to 40 miles per hour, pushing our high temperatures into the mid-40s. As winds switch overnight to out of the northwest, it'll pull in slightly cooler temperatures for tomorrow. Need a new bathroom? Don't miss out on free premium upgrades from BCI Bath and Shower. 1-800-329-4115. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Bird flu is playing on the price of eggs, and some obviously don't. We'll get an H5N1 update from the biggest egg-producing state in the country. And what should we expect from this week's FOMC meeting? And more importantly, let's get focused on what will influence interest rates in the weeks ahead.
Live with Conversation of Interest, ideally, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagg. Then it's Dr. Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics. I'm a handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Well, we try. We try to make it interesting.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welcome to AgriTalk. We hope that you are not disappointed by today's show and that you do find it interesting, because we've got a lot of good ground that we're going to cover. We've got Mike Nagg getting in here in just a bit. We're going to get an update on the H5N1 in the state and the impact that it's having on the egg industry. And, you know, I bought eggs again last night. It seems really strange to spend $6 a dozen on eggs, Davis. It just seems strange.
It absolutely does. But that doesn't make them any less delicious, nutritious, just a staple of the American diet.
That's why I and other people are buying them like crazy yet.
You know, in France, when you walk into the grocery store, I heard they don't have the eggs refrigerated. They just have them out on a shelf.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it could be because they're farm fresh. I don't put farm fresh eggs in the refrigerator.
Don't you?
Okay. No. Put a date on them. Uh-huh. Mark a little date on them. Put them on the counter and let them sit there. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That I learned that from my daughter, who had a few laying hens, and and it worked great.
I suppose she saw it on TikTok and was like, "Dad, you know, if they're whatever."
Probably.
That sounds right.
Yep. FOMC meeting today. Interest rates are going to be in focus, and we'll get We'll get into a conversation with Vince Malanga about what to expect in the weeks ahead. You know, it's a beautiful day up here in Northeast Iowa. I can't go any further without mentioning it. It is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's 33 degrees.
Wow.
There's a bit of a breeze out there, but we're heading for a high back up around 50 degrees today, man.
Today?
Today. Really? Yes.
We're at 38 here. I don't even know what the forecast is for today.
Yeah. It's January 28th. We're sitting pretty good. You know, when I think about the amount of snow that I have not had to move off of my lane this year, it makes me very happy.
Meanwhile, we've still got piles here. The lawn is exposed, but the piles remain, brother.
Gotcha. All right, let's go ahead and get to the news. What do you got?
Sure thing. The National Weather Service is looking for locally heavy snow and snow squalls for the Great Lakes and Northeast through Wednesday. Flooding, rain, and severe thunderstorms are possible from the southern plains to the mid-lower Mississippi Valley Wednesday into Thursday. Well above average temperatures expected across much of the central and eastern United States, while below average temperatures linger in Southern California and the Southwest. Chip private exporters report sales of 132,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to South Korea during the 24-25 marketing year.
You just wonder if some of this buying that's coming into the market now is happening. You know, we better get this done before there's some tariff issues that we might have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chip, oil prices dropped about 2% yesterday, hitting a two-week low as concerns over energy demand and geopolitical factors weighed on the markets. Got to mention this. This is kind of more of an afternoon show thing, but Chip, cash cattle averaged a record at $209.19 last week. That's up $5.52 from the previous week, and the 10th straight weekly gain. Not to be outdone, the pork cutout firmed to $1.47 to $93.16 on Monday. That's the highest since December 30.
Man, oh man. The protein demand that we've got in this country right now, including for eggs, we're breaking economic rules. And hey, it's okay. Rules are meant to be broken, right?
There you go. Yeah.
But here we are. We're figuring out just how much protein demand there is in this country.
Well, Chip, looking southward, hot, dry conditions have taken a toll on Argentine crops, with soybean crop ratings falling for six straight weeks and likely to decline farther. As a result, South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier lowered his Argentine soybean crop and corn crop estimates. Cordonier left his Brazilian crop estimates unchanged. We had a great talk with Dr. C yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And he certainly indicated that his estimates were going lower. Yep.
Well, the White House Budget Office issued a directive to pause all federal grants and loans, according to a leaked memo from the Office of Management and Budget. This unprecedented action could place trillions of dollars on hold and has sown confusion among federal agencies, nonprofits, and state governments. The memo specifies that Social Security, Medicare, and, quote, payments to individuals will not be affected, and that also includes the $10 billion in farmer financial aid. That will not be impacted, but it does appear to leave all other payouts on the federal level in jeopardy, Chip.
Yeah, and it seems like there's some interpretation being done at local offices where they should be waiting for direction from the federal office before deciding what is going to happen. So let's give this one a little bit of time to play out.
Agreed. Well, President Trump has swiftly increased arrests and deportations since resuming office. According to the Washington Examiner, over 2,400 undocumented immigrants were arrested in his first week, while Fox News reports daily border crossings fell below 600 by Sunday. Today, House Republicans convene in the Donald J. Trump Grand Ballroom in Doral, Florida, for an all-day policy retreat. The gathering is centered on solidifying the future of President Trump's agenda, featuring discussions with GOP leaders, budget chair Jody Arrington, and breakout sessions on crafting a reconciliation package. Vice President J.D. Vance will also address attendees.
One big, beautiful bill. That's what they're going to be talking about.
Well, the Senate confirmed Scott Bessent as Treasury Secretary. Help me again. Bessent? Bessent. It's Bessent, right?
Bessent.
Bessent as Treasury Secretary in a 68-29 vote with support from 16 Democrats and independents.
Representative Angie Craig, Democrat from Minnesota, the new top Democrat on the House Ag Committee, is calling for adjustments to reference prices proposed in last year's Farm Bill draft. Her advocacy stems from concerns over what she says are the uneven distribution of Farm Bill benefits across U.S. regions. The head of the Federal Maritime Commission will tell a U.S. Senate committee the U.S. has options to address the growing presence of China and Chinese firms in Panama. Yeah. President Donald Trump has vowed the U.S. would take back the Panama Canal, but has given no further details on when or how. And just for some perspective, Chip, more than 40% of U.S. container traffic, valued at roughly $270 billion annually, transits the Panama Canal. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum has proposed a constitutional amendment to ban the cultivation of genetically modified corn in Mexico. This move is a significant development in Mexico's ongoing efforts to protect its native corn varieties and food sovereignty. Chip,
they're going to continue to import those GM varieties of white corn, but they just won't produce them there. So, all right, good stuff, Davis. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay, we are going to dive deep into the impacts of H5N1. Try to answer the question, are we in front of this disease or are we chasing and trying to catch up? We've got Mike Nagy, Iowa Ag Secretary, up next.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities. I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
At the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
Attention all egg producers, it's the 2025 Chippewa Valley Egg Conference, Thursday, February 20th from 9 to 3:30 at Florian Gardens, Eau Claire. This full-day event presented by Security Financial Bank features a keynote address by ag strategist Doug Johnson, breakout sessions on tax planning, dairy market updates, and more, plus a panel discussion on modern ag challenges and opportunities. Registration is $30 and includes lunch. Register by February 13th. Visit sfbank.com for registration information. SFB, member FDIC. I see.
Trusted tradition.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this beautiful Tuesday morning. At least it's beautiful up here in Northeast Iowa. No question about that.
Okay, let's find out what is going on in the state of Iowa. We've got Mike Nag, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture. Secretary Nag, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's good to talk to you.
Well, Chip, it's always great to talk with you, and I guess this is the first time this year, so I can still say Happy New Year.
There you go. There you go. Happy New Year back at you. Absolutely. Egg prices are all over the place on the news right now, Mike. We've got a real situation that we are dealing with and trying to get our supplies back up. They are obviously connecting the dots between bird flu and egg prices. We've had this conversation before, but I think we need to have it again. Do you feel that the control efforts are ahead of H5N1, or is the industry chasing and trying to catch up?
I'll tell you what, this has been a challenging year from an H5N1 standpoint, no doubt about it. But last year, I guess we should say 2024, significant widespread all across the country, outbreak and impact. So I think that's maybe a little different this time around, is that you had, it wasn't just one, it wasn't the Midwest or just the West. It's been really all across the country now, affecting both the egg laying industry, the turkey production, and I guess broilers as well. So all three. And of course, the other dynamic that we hadn't seen before 2024 was the impact on dairy and that interaction. And perhaps moving even virus between the two species. And so all of that has just created a dynamic where we really are seeing production go down across the country, eggs in particular. So whereas I think in the past I may have said that maybe the egg prices that we are experiencing were being driven largely by other things, energy prices and labor costs, I really do think that in this case right now, we do have production being one of the main causes for those prices. So where are we at in the fight against this? I mean, the challenge is that when you're still talking about, now set aside the dairy poultry interaction, that piece is different. But when you're talking about the fact that in Iowa, where we had cases this fall of high path avian influenza in poultry, they were wild bird introductions. They were not farm to farm spread. And so clearly there's still work to be done on biosecurity when it comes to trying to prevent that kind of infection. And we have not yet figured that out collectively. But I don't know that I would say that we're, I don't know. You do chase it to somewhat. You just do. I mean, it's how it works. But I would say that the industry continues to get high marks for preventing that farm to farm spread, which was the case back in 2015 that was so devastating, is that we didn't have those strategies in place. So there's some good news in there, but it's still a tough road right now.
Well, I think the fact that we continue to see some outbreaks is just evidence of how difficult it is to control. And like you said, we're not getting the farm to farm or, careless distribution of this virus. It's happening naturally. And, oh, man, that is tough to get in front of and try to get control of it. Obviously, lower egg prices is something that the Trump administration would love to see, and they would love to take credit for it as well. I get that. But there's an understanding. Is there an understanding at the federal level of how difficult it is to corral this problem?
I do believe this. We always talk about this as it really is sort of the three-legged stool concept, which is to say that the USDA, the federal government, has a very, very important role to play here. We work very closely with APHIS and on this, meaning that they're the ones that are providing the indemnity payments to producers. They are providing the disposal and cleanup assistance. But they must work in close collaboration with the states and the state animal health officials. And then, of course, you've got to have the third leg, which is industry. And industry has to be laser focused on these biosecurity, challenges, and how can we move the needle there, and what's the research that's needed. So it has to work together. So look, I believe, and our experience has been, that our USDA partners in this regard have been very strong. Now, as we look at the dairy side of things, I mean, there's been, frankly, there's been a lot of criticism to share around the three legs, if you will, on how states have reacted, how strongly or how strongly USDA should have reacted, and what the industry is doing to try to contain that virus as well. So I would say on the dairy side of things, different story. There's a lot more work that's yet to be done to even understand how that virus is impacting those herds. On the poultry side, these things are really well known. The how do we respond is very well known, but we obviously still have work to do. I have to tell you that there are some great producers in Iowa that have done amazing work, made huge investments in biosecurity, and they are still seeing infections. And so there just has to be more work done, and we don't have the answer just yet. Though I will tell you that this strain that we're dealing with right now in the Midwest is quite virulent. It's affecting wild birds, and if it gets into a flock, it is devastating.
Yeah. Yep. Man, I wish we had. I wish we could end this conversation on bird flu and the poultry on a high note, but it's hard to find it right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's tough. And by the way, you know, historically, we go back to 2015, the last time that we had a major outbreak in the country. It really lasted through the spring, and then it was done. Yeah. And we are now on, well, we're entering year four, but we in Iowa have experienced 3 years, spring and fall, of being affected by high path. And we don't want to see that be a fourth year, though I will tell you, we're always preparing as if we will. So this one has dragged on, and it is concerning, because of course then you start to have impacts like, you know, that spillover event from poultry into dairy or wild birds into dairy and back and forth. And we just know that viruses like to find ways to live on, and the longer they hang around, the more of that kind of activity that you see. So we've got to continue to work aggressively as states, as USDA, as industry, to try to contain it where it is. That's the best hope that we've got at this point.
Secretary Nag, is a vaccine a possibility here, or does that just gin up too many trade issues? And is the virus even stable enough for a long enough period of time to come up with a vaccine that'll work?
Those are great questions. I would say yes to all of those things, right? Unfortunately. So let's take trade first. It is true that historically, vaccination has been a challenge to try to sort through. You know, you're trying to figure out how do you tell the difference between something that has been vaccinated and something that either has a virus or has had it and is still, you know, expressing the antibodies. And how do you tell the difference between those two things? And so in this case, we've got to make sure that we give as good as we get. United States has policies that would prevent somebody from importing to us. We shouldn't expect that everybody's just going to accept from us. And so those are challenges, and yet those are things that can be worked on and negotiated into trade agreements. So I always say, don't let that be the only reason that we would say, oh, can't be done. No, right, no, it right. can be done, but it's not easily done. I want to put a flag there. In terms of vaccine, look, you're right. It's a little bit like that, you know, the flu shot that you and I might get, and you know, some years it's more effective than others. The same concept, right? You might be in the right area, you might not be. So the efficacy of a vaccine, it's not a silver bullet by any means. But I'm supportive of developing. We should try to figure out whether this can be an effective tool. For us in Iowa, and it's different, if you're in the broiler business, or if you're in the turkey meat business, or if you're in the egg business, or maybe you're in the genetics business, those are very different in terms of how you view that vaccine. You know, if I've got laying hens that for months and months are producing for me, that's different than having a broiler hen or bird that's on the ground for seven weeks or so. So those are very different. We need to recognize that those sectors are different in how they'll view and potentially use a vaccine. Don't treat them all the same. And for some, it'll make way more sense than others.
Okay. All right. We've only got a minute left.
Already? Wow.
Yeah. Tell me what we need to know about Brooke Rollins.
Oh, I'm a fan. I think she did a very good job at in terms of her confirmation hearing. Of course, I have a high level of confidence in Senators Grassley and Ernst and other senators, especially from the Midwest, to go through that vetting process. I know that they've had a chance to visit with her on things that matter to Iowa, things like biofuels and trade and, you know, just getting USDA back to basics, back to their core mission. And I believe she has hit the mark. And she's also selected a great team to fill out her senior leadership level at the USDA. Just like I would have said about the last Trump administration, I think you can say the same things about this incoming group. Is they are some fine people with a tremendous amount of experience. So I'm very excited about USDA incoming leadership.
Excellent. Excellent. Secretary Mike Nag, Iowa Department of Agriculture. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you making time for us.
Always great to talk.
All right. Like I said, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nag. Boy, this is a tough situation trying to deal with this the bird flu and get it under control. Let's talk interest rates next with Dr. Vince Belang.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
In the Ad Council.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day. The country experience.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 39 to 2034, March up 41 to 20 even, April up 29 to 1975, May milk up 22 to 1965. Live and feeder cattle markets, triple-digit gains in many of the contracts today. Higher box beef prices helping to support the markets. And again, the trade continues to extend the buying interest after that bullish cattle on feed report. Hog markets moving higher as we see some strength in some of the pork cutout values due to higher consumer demand helping to support the market. February live cattle up 282 to 208.50. January feeder cattle up 90 cents to 280.62. while February hogs up 65 cents to 83.70. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly higher. Now, for corn, there was an export sale for the day of 132,000 metric tons to South Korea. Really not a lot of fresh news in the soybean markets, really just following the rest of the grain complex higher. Wheat markets higher due to a big jump in MATIF wheat prices. That's helping to offset strength in the dollar. New crop corn up 5.25 to 463.5. New crop beans up 6.75 to 1050. March wheat up 12.5 to 548. Minneapolis wheat, March up 11.75 to 597.5.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
OP
opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. The Federal Reserve has its Federal Open Market Committee meeting today and tomorrow. We will get new monetary policy guidance from the meeting and the Fed and Fed Chairman Jerome Powell here yet this week. Let's figure out what we're going to get. Dr. Vince Milanga, LaSalle Economics. Vince, it's good to talk to you, man. How are you? Happy New Year.
Hey, morning, Chip. How you doing?
Good, good, good. So what should we expect?
Well, I think this is one of those meetings where it's pretty much a non-event in one sense, and that the Fed is going to be on pause. They're not going to alter policy at this time. But I characterize it in our jargon as a dovish pause, meaning that the leaning will be from the Fed chairman in his conference call. The leaning will be toward an ease rather than a tightening at current levels. And he'll talk about, you know, having to await to see what kind of policy evolves from the Trump administration. And in the meanwhile, they'll be just monitoring the day-to-day activity. I will say, though, that while the economy probably grew at something like a 3% annual rate in the fourth quarter, the first quarter is not shaping up as well. And I think you're going to start to see some deterioration in labor market conditions in here in the coming weeks. And my guess is that's going to set up the first confrontation between the Fed and the president. If we get a pause tomorrow, and then in another week we get a weak labor market report, I think you can count on the fact that the president is going to lambast the Fed that they should have eased credit, they don't know what they're doing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Back up a little bit for me here. Waiting on policy from the Trump administration. We didn't hear that from the Fed during the Biden administration, that they were going to wait on policy decisions. What the heck?
Well, of course, that stuff wasn't in their bailiwick during the Biden administration. But now all of a sudden we're going to be looking at non-monetary influences like tariffs, and the effect of deportations, possible deregulations, possible tax cuts, you know, all of which should affect the economy. And if we were 2 years earlier, the Fed would have said, well, we can't pay attention to that stuff because we have no control over it. But times change. Well,
yes,
I should say politics change.
There you go. There you go. So talk to me a bit more about the need to battle inflation right now. How would you describe it? What's the priority?
Well, I think when you look, you know, the problem is the inflation rate is above the Fed's long-term target. And so therefore, it's hard for them to ease credit, everything else constant, if inflation is higher than their target. It's a little bit sticky in here. I expect inflation rates to come down over the next 6 to 9 months and probably approach the target. I think the consensus forecast out there is that inflation is more likely to be sticky or go up. But I think you're going to see the energy markets really start to weaken in here in coming months, and that's the foundation for a lot of price changes.
Okay. So the energy markets, I'm one of those guys that is looking for some lower energy prices ahead as well. But I keep in the back of my mind is the gnawing question, what's going to be the incentive for the energy producers to produce more to lower prices going forward? Aren't they pretty happy with the current situation?
Well, I'd say there are three things out there. Number one, you're getting a lot of permitting reform. You're getting a lot of, the administration is opening up a lot of hitherto restricted acreage. And so that's an inducement. Number two, you know, I think in the background, you know, this whole hoopla over Greenland. I mean, Greenland is rich in minerals. And I think to give the industry an incentive to start drilling in the Arctic, for fossil fuels is a big positive. And the third thing, I think we're going to see the Trump administration lean pretty heavily on Saudi Arabia and company to start increasing output. I think there's a lot of politics involved in there. But I think if they really want to do a job on Iran and Russia and calm things down in the Middle East, that would be the way to do it. I'm sure the Trump administration is going to do it, and I think the Saudis are going to comply. And okay. I think when you put all those things together, the industry can be profitable at $55, $60 a barrel. I think the Saudis can be happy with that if Russia and Iran are suffering. And it's almost sort of a win-win situation. You knock product prices down, and the price of gasoline will come down, and the price of distillate, and all the inputs that go into the production process. And that tends to filter through the chain and lower the overall rate of inflation.
Yeah. If we can get the Saudis to play along with it, I agree. There's a chance that this can work. And the odds are good. Odds are good. You also
well, the next... The next OPEC meeting is May 28th, is scheduled for May 28th. So we've got some time, but I think starting in April, OPEC is going to come to the OPEC stance is going to come to the forefront, and that's when we'll start to see, I think, the markets anticipate something.
Okay. All right. You mentioned the labor situation. What impact is the border control efforts going to have on that?
Oh, I don't think, you know, I think that, that phenomenon has been overplayed. I don't think I don't think immigration has really been a significant factor in affecting the labor market over the last couple of years. So I don't view that. And I do think the deportation policy, I think they're realistic on that. And the first order effect is to get rid of the bad guys.
Yep.
And I don't know, what's the trade-off? I'm not so sure any of those bad guys are in the labor force to begin with.
Right.
So I think that's round one, and then we'll take it from there.
Gotcha. Excellent. Okay. I realize it is super, super early on this, but are you seeing any evidence that the DOGE efforts are going to be successful in reining in spending?
Well, I don't see, you know, I see a lot of ideas being floated. I'm very hopeful. The Republicans are meeting in Mar-a-Lago today and tomorrow, and they're talking about tax policy and budgetary issues and DOGE and the like. And I want to see some hard stuff come out quickly. I think the bond market's been reasonably patient so far. But the bond market is not going to stay patient for very long unless they start to see some good ideas start to really come out and be debated.
Okay. If they are successful, Vince, can it have an impact on the economy? It should, shouldn't it?
Well, I think there's a two-pronged effect there. Number one, the first-order effect will be to weaken the economy because you're introducing fiscal drag.
Yep.
But the second-order effect, I think it's going to change expectations about the bond, about deficits, the long-run deficit, and therefore contribute to a decline in long-term interest rates and also give the Fed an incentive to ease credit. You're sort of threading a needle in here on a $30 trillion economy. And so maybe you get tripped up with some temporary weakness, but I'd be willing to sacrifice some short-term pain for long-term gain.
Absolutely. It's a tough job, but it's a needle worth trying to thread here, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think absolutely. I don't think we have a choice, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it all gets us to this bottom line question. What are you really watching as far as what's going to determine interest rates, and how are those interest rates going to be determined?
Well, I think in the short run, meaning the next 2 or 3 months, you watch the labor market report and you watch the report on the personal consumption deflator that will come out this Friday. I think there's a possibility that you get an interest rate cut. You're certainly not going to get one tomorrow. I'd say 6 weeks from now when the next FOMC meeting, that's a question mark, but I'd lean in the direction of a possible interest rate cut in the March meeting, if in fact I'm right on a weakening of labor market conditions in here. And then beyond that, it's really going to be a function, I think, as far as the long-term market is concerned, about what the deficit outlook is looking at, you know, and if the economy stays weak, the Fed will ease another couple of times. So I think there's a possibility of three cuts before Labor Day.
Okay. All right. We're going to pay attention to what Jay Powell is talking about. Who else should we, on the Board of Governors, should we be paying attention to?
Well, you know, I think this guy Chris Waller is an interesting addition. Number one, he was appointed by Biden. Number two, he has the reputation of being a hawk, and therefore, being a fighter against or in favor of a restrictive monetary policy. But lately, he gets a lot of attention. He suggested at the last meeting, I should say in an interview about 3 or 4 weeks ago, that you could have as many as 3 or 4 interest rate cuts this year. And that's certainly outside the norm. It's a lot more compliant than the other members have been talking. My own bias is that he thinks maybe he's got a shot at being the next Fed chairman, and maybe there's a little bit of politics going on there too. And yeah, so you might as well say things that please the administration, as long as you don't have to implement them.
Yep, I hear you. Vince, you're the best. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
You bet, Chip. Have a good one.
All right, that is Vince Malanga, LaSalle Economics. Whoo, man, Davis and I will be right back.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $40 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $18 a month, a savings of nearly $300 a year.
Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. In a hurry? Don't worry. With SelectQuote, you can get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-637-9116. That's 1-800-637-9116. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-637-9116.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
You protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve. Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries. AIs that you've come to trust and rely on from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle-ready. Meet your ally. AtticusLLC.com.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver with a 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at CommodityClassic.com.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up. We're a great team, but the flu is dominating. The good news is the human we're protecting just got his flu shot. That means all of us antibodies have strong new gear that will help us fight and defend against the flu. We must win so that our human can stay healthy and help protect the people he cares about most.
Let's work as a team to defend against the flu. Gear up with a flu shot to help protect yourself and others and reduce your risk of being sick or hospitalized with the flu. Learn more at GetMyFluShot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here on your Tuesday morning. I've got Chip Flory as well, somewhere in the wings here. Chip?
Mm-hmm. Chip!
I'm here!
Oh, there he is. Okay, we got him.
Good.
Quite the virulent strain that... Iowa Ag Secretary Neg was talking about there with the bird flu. My daughter actually texted me while we were in that segment. She said, Dad, eggs are $8 a dozen.
Yeah.
$8 a dozen. I don't know what kind of eggs she's buying, but $8?
Well, I think it just depends on what store you go to. I was at Hy-Vee last night, and they were $6.
Okay.
You know, just for the Hy-Vee large white.
Yeah. The thin shells on them that always get in your scrambled eggs.
Yeah, that's probably
that's
it.
Them.
Yep. Yep. But there's a lot of conversation about the price of eggs and the, as you were talking about at the start of the show, the nutritional value that you get, though.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get that. I get that. And like I said, I'm going to buy $6 a dozen eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to. But there are consumers out there that came to rely on $2.50 eggs.
Yeah. Yep.
And how that worked into their budget rather than $6 eggs.
Mm-hmm.
May not sound like a lot to you and me, but to some, that is a difficult price increase to work into the budget.
It is.
Yes.
I don't want to start a storm here, but
okay.
We've talked to cattle people. All right. Are you already rolling your eyes? You know. Working to get value dollars down to the producer level.
Yeah.
Now, NAG pointed out that Iowa poultry producers have done an excellent job of following protocols, installing infrastructure in some cases, it sounded like, spending money on their operations to try and combat this disease. So I wonder if any of the $6 or the $8 or the however many dollars, are they seeing that trickle down? Again, I don't want to open a can of worms here, but, I mean, if it's going to help them in those efforts, then I guess it makes sense to me to pay extra.
To those that are still producing on a regular schedule, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're feeling it. But if you had your production disrupted and turned upside down and had to liquidate barns.
Yeah.
No. You're not feeling the benefits of these higher prices. This is costing money.
Yeah.
a lot of money to fight this virus. Yeah, it's tough. And just one last thing on the virus here, Davis.
Yeah.
You know, it's no joking matter. You got to watch your pets. You know, when you take them out for a walk, when you are doing this, you guys know how a dog is. If they see a dead bird, they're going to go roll in it.
Heck yeah.
I mean, you can have the best trained little guy in the world. If they get a chance, they're going to roll on a dead bird.
You can be a journalist of renown. I'm thinking of Scout the Farm Dog right now. There's nothing finer to him than a dead bird. He sings
about
it.
Dead bird. Exactly. Exactly. I'm just saying that that's something that you don't want to let happen right now. This is serious stuff.
Well, now that's an interesting thought. So you got farm dogs running around. You know, when I was a kid, we had farm dogs just running around, you know?
Sure.
Gosh, I hadn't really thought of them as a potential biosecurity disruptor. That's interesting.
They definitely are.
Something to think about. To think about. Vince seems like he's willing to kind of wait and see before making any real hard and fast judgments on some of the things that are happening right now on the policy side.
You know,
impressions?
Yeah, definitely. I've known Vince long enough. I could hear some of the frustration and even just a touch of sarcasm in some of the comments that he was making about the Fed all of a sudden is looking at policy decisions and having to wait and see what the impacts of some of those policy decisions might be before they can decide what they are going to do with interest rates going forward. We can cite lots of examples over the past 4 years where Fed leadership, Fed governors have come right out and said, no, we can't be bothered with trying to figure out what the impact of those policy decisions are going to be because we have no control over it. We can cite lots of examples where they said that. But now it's, we need to wait and see what the impacts are going to be going forward. Now, I love the fact that we had that conversation with Vince about Doge and how the initial impact could be negative on the markets. I shouldn't have said markets. Dang it. Can be negative on the economy, okay? And even if it is negative on the economy, it could be a positive for the markets because of the understanding of a little bit of upfront pain for long-term gain by cutting spending and at least trying to get out in front of the deficit spending.
Is the bond market our canary in the coal mine on that?
Oh, definitely.
Will the first indication come from there?
Definitely. Yeah. Right. I mean the long term, the 30-year bond and how it trades in relation to the 10-year in relation to T bills. Absolutely. It is all very important. All right. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Appreciate it. You got to come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Kent Beadle from Paradigm Futures right here on Agri-Talk.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the Home Depot, it's our business to support yours. Partner with your go-to source for building your business. We can help you streamline your operations by supplying the whole job from start to finish. Any questions? Our pro desk is ready to answer the call with supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. Elevate your efficiency and take on more projects with the partner you can trust. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House briefing today, Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt says their assessment of the drones flown in New Jersey these past